Good morning, friends. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. I know all of you, including some of our guests here this morning. It's lovely to see you, to greet you. For those who are visiting, and there are three of you out there, so I do hope our members will turn around and make everyone feel most welcome. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. And joining with me in leadership this morning is our cantor, Rod Campbell. We're grateful for your voice this morning, Rod. And our accompanist, Norm Nurmi. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in our neighborhood and in our city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. Everyone is welcome here. A warm welcome to members of Rosedale Presbyterian Church and Glenview Presbyterian Church who are with us here this morning. We do have a time for coffee and conversation after our service, just through the door right there. And we hope that you'll all stay and keep talking about what comes up in our worship service. We have been following a sermon series for the past 5 weeks. We've been calling it Finding the Thread, which is really the spiritual task of summertime. Finding again the thread of our lives, coming back to a sense of ourselves, what connects us, coming back to our values that are important to us. And we've been using our scriptures and our faith tradition to assist us in finding that thread. And here's what we've discovered together. That finding the thread begins with asking tough questions. That it is lived out in practicing compassion. That regaining our rhythm and looking at the balance of our lives helps us to find the thread. That remembering God is with us in every place also helps us to find the thread. Today we'll be looking at a sense of the sacred with Jesus' teachings around the kingdom of heaven. And this will add sort of our final thread. We'll be at Rosedale Presbyterian Church for the rest of the summer. So from August the 2nd until September the 6th, our congregation is invited to join our friends at Rosedale Presbyterian. If you have not met Reverend Daniel Cho, he is wonderful. He is just an exceptional minister and a true colleague. And a wonderful preacher. I do hope that you will journey and check out this beautiful congregation. Our first Sunday back in this space will be September the 13th. With that, I invite us to stand and to join together in our call to worship. Standing in body or spirit, whatever you're comfortable with. Summer is a time of sunshine and storms. We come to worship with joys and worries. Summer is a time of long evenings and changing rhythms. We come to worship with expectation and disruption. Summer is a time for deeper connections with friends and family, with neighbors, both human and nature. With our loving Creator, we come to worship to deepen our connection with God, with one another, and with creation. And so we sing for the fruits of all creation. And this is in the red hymn book, Voices United. The peace of Christ be with you all. And I invite you to greet one another with this peace of Christ, saying, peace be with you. You're welcome to move from the pews. Make sure you welcome widely, especially people you don't know. Travel around. We light this, our Christ candle, as a reminder that it takes effort to seek God. It's not always easy. And yet, by seeking the sacred in community, we give meaning to the journey we take together. I want to invite us into a time for silence and then a gathering prayer. Silence is a gift in our noisy world. It helps us to hear what is sacred inside of ourselves. Let us pray. God of green and growing things, you are sun and rain to our hearts. Nourish us as we root in your love, and may our branches extend, offering shade and shelter for the sake of your world. God, your love is deep and ever-present. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed and inadequate, both next to your immense love and as we face the suffering of the world. We bring hearts weighed down by what we do not do and what we have not done well, by what we do not say and what we have not said well, by the ways we are part of systems that cause suffering and harm for other humans and the earth. We confess what is on our hearts this morning in silence. Amen. Every time we falter, every time we turn and gaze away from the need for action, every time we feel too small, God is there with us, rooted in forgiveness, in transformation, in new possibility. God's love is unceasing, embracing all that we are, revealing all that we're capable of. Remember, you are not alone, and you are loved. Opening our theme this morning, I'm so excited to share with you the scriptures that are in our lectionary today. They are two of the most beautiful passages that you can hear, both about God's presence with us when what's on our hearts is too heavy for us to even give voice to, and then some wonderful everyday images of the kingdom of heaven right here in the everyday among us. And so the sacred in the everyday, God with us in the ordinary, is our theme for the service this morning. And so I want to ask you to recall a time, hopefully it's a recent time, but maybe not, when you felt a sense of the sacred. And I don't know what it would have been that alerted you to the sacred right there with you. Maybe you were out in nature and viewing something spectacular. Perhaps it was a moment of remembering the sacredness of your body. Perhaps you were gathered with people that you care about and you felt sort of right here, right now, that sacredness within yourself. Perhaps it was being around a new baby or a very old person. What linked you, what connected you to the sense of the sacred right here, right now with you? I invite you into a moment of contemplation as Norm plays. Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but who gave him up for all of us, how will he not, with him, also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. May God guide and support us in understanding this reading of Scripture. A reading from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, and 44 to 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good fish into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. Have you understood all of this? They answered. Yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Thank you. letting in God's heavenly light. Bless the hearth, a blazing there, with smoke ascending like a prayer. Bless the people here within, keep them pure and free from sin. Bless us all, that we may be fit, O Lord, to dwell within. Bless us all, that we one day may dwell alone with thee.
Thank you, Rod. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most controversial topics I've had to navigate in my ministry here at Rosedale United Church is whether or not to have a space for children to play in the back of the sanctuary. And we did make our way through this a number of years ago, but at the time, it wasn't straightforward. It was controversial. Hearing this, you might be thinking, seriously? That was a tough issue that sparked disagreement and dissension? It hardly seems important now that we're on the other side of it. But to ask whether children should be permitted to stay in the sanctuary and to play during worship is to ask a more complicated question. Namely, how do we get in touch with God? How do we get in touch with what's sacred and what's ultimate and deep and true in life that we might find again the thread of our living? Do we need absolute stillness and quiet? This was the perspective of many at the time. Can there be any background noise when we're trying to get in touch with God and with what is sacred? Does getting in touch with what's ultimate necessarily mean getting away from it all, it being the mess of real life, like children and grandchildren and runny noses and diaper changes and our work and the day-to-day and the complications of relationships and dirty dishes and laundry? Or do we find what is sacred and ultimate and deep and true? Do we find again the thread in the very midst of our everyday lives? This is what we were actually talking about when we were debating whether or not to have a kids' area at the back of the sanctuary. We were wrestling with how best to get in touch with what is ultimate, about how one comes to access what we call the kingdom of heaven, how one finds the thread, how we enter the realm of the sacred. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus begins his ministry with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is near." But those who had gathered to hear him preach didn't automatically perceive what he was talking about. In fact, they wondered if something was wrong with their eyes. If the kingdom of heaven was near, they couldn't see it. If the kingdom of heaven was near, the people wondered, How come they didn't hear any trumpets sound its arrival? If the kingdom of heaven was near, where was the palace built to house its riches? Where were the horses and chariots thundering through the villages with the kingdom's ruler on board? If the kingdom of heaven was near, how come life was still so ordinary, the people wondered. Farmers continued to tend to their fields. Smoke billowed up from ovens where women baked bread. Shouts and clanging could still be heard in the central square where merchants bought and sold their goods. The people had gathered at the shore of the lake, hoping Jesus might show them something different. They had gone and gotten away from it all in order to find some new perspective. And Jesus goes and tells them, the kingdom of heaven isn't out here, it's back there. It's everything they left back at home. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and it's like yeast. It's like finding buried treasure in the field where you go to work every day. Written in the years just after the Romans had completely destroyed the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, Matthew's collection of Jesus' parables would have challenged the first congregation to hear them. It is entirely possible that many members of Matthew's early Christian community had visited the temple. These were people with sense memories of the coolness of temple walls and the bustling sound of pilgrims in its inner courtyard and the smell of temple incense and the sight of its thick velvet curtains. If this was a world where such a temple could be destroyed, the members of this community might have reasoned, if this was a world where such violence and destruction could prevail, if this was real life, these folks wondered, what could possibly redeem it? No way the kingdom of heaven could be here, in these towns and villages, on these streets where the Roman Empire ruled. It was this kind of thinking that led to the development of Christian monastic communities. The original monastics were men and women who left partners and parents, friends, and community, everything they owned and everything they had earned to go off and live as far away from real life as possible in the deserts of Egypt. The great Christian monastics like Anthony of Egypt would say that real life masks what is sacred and ultimate and deep and true, and that if we really want to find the thread, if we really want to get in touch with God, if we really want to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, then we've got to get some distance from real life. And this is an idea that persists even today. In summertime, we long to escape up north, down east, out west. I know I long to get away. I want to be beside a clear, calm lake again, or to look out and see the ocean as far as the horizon. There's something about a deserted landscape, void of people, just nature. Sitting on the end of a dock in the morning, walking along a vast beach, taking in the view, going off on my own, being quiet and still and getting some distance from real life. I always feel I gain a new perspective, like I've caught a glimpse of the kingdom. I'm not just looking at the waters off the maritime coast or off Georgian Bay. I've caught a glimpse of what's ultimate and what's deep and what's true. I've found the thread, the kingdom of heaven. But it seems that the only way I could see it was by shifting my gaze away from the ordinary and the everyday. It's interesting that Christianity has inspired this Western way of seeing, this notion that the sacred and the ultimate and the deep and the true can only be out there, away from the everyday and the ordinary. When actually the heart of Christian philosophy and practice is about entrenching ourselves in caring for the everyday and the ordinary, making deep and abiding attachments and commitments to life right in front of us, to people and to places. We believe that in Jesus, God came to live in a body, and so to attach God's self to everything bodies are about, everyday life all around us, to children and grandchildren and runny noses and creativity and food and work and friendships and places and relationships. If the sacred is anywhere, the Christian faith would say, it isn't only away from real life, but in the midst of the everyday and the ordinary. It's easy for us to miss because we're not part of the culture in which Jesus originally spoke, but all of the symbols Jesus uses to talk about the kingdom of heaven in these parables are images of the ordinary and everyday things with which people would have come into contact all the time. Mustard was a plant indigenous to the Middle East, and yeast made the bread that was part of every meal. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is as unremarkable as the field in which you go to work every day. You want to know how to get in touch with God, with what is sacred? You want to get in touch with what is ultimate, to find the thread? The sacred is all around you. The kingdom of heaven is near. The sacred is in what you see every day, everywhere, and in all places. God makes God's home in bodies. I studied for my Doctor of Ministry degree at the University of Chicago. And during my studies, I had to go to Chicago for extended periods every year. And one of the places I used to visit when I was there was the Art Institute, where I saw the painting by Mary Cassatt that is on the cover of our bulletin this Sunday. The perspective in this painting is unique. The artist has us as viewers inhabit a perspective that looks upon the scene as though we're standing above these seated figures. So at first we can't help but look down on the woman and the child going about this very mundane, routine, daily part of life. It seems a trivial subject for a painting, a woman washing a child's bath. But look closely, Cassatt is saying. Like finding treasure buried in a patch of your own backyard or a pearl inside one of thousands of other shells, you've stumbled upon the sacred in what is everyday and ordinary. The child is dressed to emulate Christ in a kind of a loincloth, with the woman holding her, washing her feet. Cassatt makes the ultimate proclamation of faith. Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Why do we think we need to go searching for the sacred, to go off on a quest for the kingdom of heaven, for what's deep and for what's true, when our faith says that what is sacred is as close to us as the person sitting next to us? The kingdom of heaven is among us when we take care of each other. Our sacraments help us to see the sacred in the ordinary and to treat each other as such. Our rituals are like glasses, helping us to see clearly what was always right in front of us. In the moment where a baby is baptized, we recognize them for what they really are, sacred, a beloved child of God. When we take communion, we remember that what nourishes us is simple and small, and every day. It's bread, a cup, togetherness. It's the sacredness of the everyday, the extraordinary realization that the ordinary can be home to the life and spirit of God. It's in the labor of real life and everyday living, caring for the bodies that surround us, that we catch a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And it's also in the pleasure, when we remember the sacredness of our bodies and treat them as such. Summer gives us this permission. We find the thread by treating our bodies as the sacred sites that they are, coming back to our senses, going outside, delighting in what we can smell and hear and taste and touch and see. We don't need to get away from our daily lives in order to recognize what is sacred and ultimate and deep and true. We only need to remember the sacredness of bodies and with our actions to bless them. And then we catch a glimpse of the kingdom in which we always live. Amen. Friends, we stand in body or spirit singing together, "This is God's wondrous world." I invite you to join with me in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And so in this moment, as we open a time for prayer for our community, we are invited to honor the prayers that we may have carried here by lighting a candle on either side of our sanctuary. And maybe, yeah, Bob and Sally, do you mind getting that lighting started? Thank you. So you're welcome to wander over to a station and to light a candle in honor of a prayer that you've brought with you, perhaps an intention that you want to set for the week ahead. Equally, in this moment, you're invited to give an offering to the life and the work of this church, a financial offering. Our box is at the back, if you so choose. And you're also welcome just to sit and enjoy the peace and quiet of this moment as Norm plays. So the moment is yours, and you're welcome to step into it in whatever way that your heart needs. We join our hearts and minds in prayer for our community, for our wider world. Let us pray. Your love, O God, fills all of creation. Because we know this, we bring our hopes, our dreams, our fears to you. Today, we focus deep inside of ourselves and recognize all those things for which we are thankful. And in the silence now, we offer them up to you. For all your goodness, loving God, we give you thanks. Today we focus deep inside of ourselves and recognize those things we do that cause harm. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your help, for your healing to move all over our earth and wherever our human family and the natural world has need. We lift up to you in the silence all of those people and places that need your healing and your goodness today. For all your goodness, forgiving God, we give you thanks. Today we focus outside of ourselves and realize the needs that surround us. Help us, we pray, to be your presence and your heart in the world. Help us, we pray, to show that nothing can come between you and your creation. For all your goodness, creating God, we give you thanks. Hear these prayers of our hearts and hear us now as we say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing together, joyful, joyful.
Thank you.
God's love is deep and ever present. May your roots grow deep as well, nurturing your soul and nourishing the good work you do. As you go caring for one another, may you remember we are not alone. We bless each other as we go. And the words are in your bulletin.